Good afternoon. It's Tuesday Farm News here on the Red River Farm Network and also a USDA Crop Report Day. I'm Kara Hart with Randy Conan and Megan Turnquist. The USDA released its February supply and demand report this morning. In that report, USDA raised global soybean ending stocks to 98.9 million metric tons on an increase in Brazilian soybean production. USDA increased Brazil's soybean production 2 million metric tons to a record 125 million metric tons, while holding Argentina's soybean production unchanged from the January report. USDA lowered world corn ending stocks by 1 million metric tons to the January report to 296.8 million metric tons. Global wheat stocks were lowered slightly from January to 288 million metric tons.
Allendale President Steve Giorgi says South America has a good crop coming.
When you look at the numbers that we have here from Brazil and Argentina, they did increase the soybean numbers, 125 million metric tons here for soybeans. That is much bigger than where they were last year at this time at 117 million metric tons. And then, of course, they increased their corn crop as well, 101 million metric tons. That's on pace with what they had last year for Brazil. So their crop still is getting a little bit bigger. That is something that we need to see. So if we were thinking our markets were going to be so friendly, we still need to kind of have that in the back of our mind.
Giorgi says Brazil's soybeans are still cheaper than U.S. soybeans.
That may shift this demand as well, but I think when we look at their crops specifically, they are doing very well. They don't have a lot of problems right now, and we need to keep that in the back of our mind.
Zahner Group Ag Hedge Lead Ted Seifert says this ho-hum USDA report is being viewed as bearish.
You know, for the doubters, for the bears that have been sort of in control of this market ever since that trade deal got signed, I think this adds more credence for them because they're going to point to this report and say, hey, look, the USDA doesn't even believe in the trade deal. So, you know, we had the initial spike up on the report in soybeans based on, you know, the ending stocks number being slightly more bullish than expectations. But as far as the rationale and the reasoning why, I think the trade's pulling that apart right now, and therefore we are getting a little bit heavy.
Seifert expects continued price pressure until the market starts seeing Chinese egg purchases.
Now, I'm optimistic that that starts happening in the next 10 days, but in the short term and in between now and then, until we see those sales, I don't know. This report wasn't the silver bullet the market needed, and, you know, I think we're going to fall under a little bit more pressure here.
Summit Commodities market analyst Tim Marsh agrees. Now that this USDA data is out, analysts will continue to watch for clues on what China could be interested in buying from the U.S. Marsh says it could be disappointing to the markets if China doesn't tip their hand to U.S. products. At the end of the month, the USDA will also hold their annual Ag Outlook Forum.
Now, this shouldn't be a big surprise to anybody, but what they do every year on that is that they issue their first best guess as to what the new crop situation is going to look like with a new crop estimate on crop size and usage and then a subsequent carryover estimate for the new crop that we haven't planted yet. So it's a very preliminary report, but it's going to show a much bigger carryover on corn because it's going to assume a pretty big corn crop and a pretty big rebound in bean production as well and increases in the carryover numbers. So that's going to be psychologically potentially a little bit negative at the end of next week.
Brazil's government supply agency, CONAB, raised its soybean production forecast to a record 123.2 million metric tons in this morning's monthly report. That's up a million tons from its January estimate of 122.2 million tons, nearly 10 million tons larger than last year's crop. The estimate is also slightly below most trade analyst estimates and USDA numbers now, who are expecting numbers in that 124 to 128 million ton range. CONAB raised Brazil's corn production slightly to 100.5 million tons. That's up from 100 million tons last year and the January forecast of 98.7 million tons.
Brazil's crop supply agency, CONAB, released their latest production estimates this morning. Standard Grain President Joe Vaclavic says the increase in those numbers were widely expected.
And they increased their projections for both the soybean crop and the corn crop. So they're now projecting a record Brazilian soybean crop and a very close to record corn crop. So big crops coming out of Brazil, and that's not fresh news to anybody. We've been talking about that for several weeks.
The numbers were slightly less than what the trade was expecting, but Vaclavic expects those numbers to grow in the coming months.
Farmers and other agriculture producers have until March 2nd to file their 2019 income tax returns without penalty if they have not estimated payments. NDSU Extension Farm Management Specialist Ron Haugen is making farmers aware of the tax filing deadlines.
Farmers have always had this little perk in their filing season. If they file by earlier, they don't have to pay any penalties for underestimating their taxes. And if farmers do make an estimated tax payment by January 15th, if they've already done that, then they have till April 15th. But if you haven't made any estimates, you can just file it by March 2nd this year. It's supposed to be the first, but the first falls on a Sunday, and then you can pay your taxes in full, and there will be no penalties. So
Haugen says there are just a few things to be aware of as you gather information for your tax preparer.
Farmers are still eligible to use the 200% declining balance depreciation. That was a change from the tax cut bill. And new agricultural machinery can be depreciated over 5 years. And then let me see, what else do we have here? Like-kind exchanges, that was a change. When you do machinery trades, you need to treat them as two separate transactions, and this is the second year on that now.
A friendly reminder, go to the Red River Farm Network's website, rrfn.com, to sign up for our weekly Farm Net News e-newsletter. You can download this broadcast and also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. It's all at rrfn.com. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell told Congress this morning the U.S. economy is in a good place, although there is a threat from the coronavirus in China.
The question for us really is, what will be the effects on the U.S. economy? Will they be persistent? Will they be material? That's really the question. I think we know there will be effects on China through some part of the first half of the year, and China's close neighbors and major trading partners in Europe as well as Asia.
And again, Powell says the effects of this on the U.S. are unknown at this time.
The House Committee on Appropriations held a budget hearing this morning with the USDA Office of the Inspector General. Wisconsin Representative Mark Pocan asked about the market facilitation program.
I know you're doing an audit. So a recent New York Times report said that $67 million of the President's Trade Assistance Program went to JBS USA via product purchases. In comparison, every dairy farmer in Wisconsin cumulatively got less than $43 million in trade assistance. Curious what we can expect in the OIG report. Will you be looking at how they designed and implemented the market implementation program? And will you be investigating how much money went to the agribusiness conglomerates like JBS?
Here is USDA Inspector General Phyllis Fong's response.
We are just starting our work on all of these programs. We're going to start out with the basic issue of authority for the programs, and then we're going to get into the design and implementation, eligibility, and look at the producer questions. So I think we're still crafting the scope and objectives of our reviews, and we know that there are a number of members who are interested in other aspects of the program, including whether funds are going to underrepresented groups appropriately.
The House Agriculture Subcommittee on Biotechnology, Horticulture, and Research hosted a hearing on economic opportunities from local agricultural markets this morning. Minnesota Farmers Market Association Executive Director Kathy Zeman was a witness during the hearing, calling for continued investment in farmers markets programs on a federal level.
Local food sales and system capacity have grown tremendously over the past several decades. As an example, in Minnesota, we started out with 15 farmers markets in 1998, and last year we grew to 302. To help local food systems sustain their growth and serve their communities, and to help organizations like MFMA continue to build our capacity and serve our members, there is a need for strategic investment through federally funded programs like LAMP. Farmers and ranchers, on average, receive only about 15 cents of every food dollar that consumers spend. But at farmers markets, farmers capture a much larger share.
The House of Representatives approved the Protecting America's Food and Agricultural Act of 2019 on Monday. The legislation funds 740 new agricultural inspectors, including agricultural technicians and new canine teams used to keep African swine fever out of the U.S. The U.S. pork industry is pleased with the action. National Pork Producers Council President David Herring said the vote represents a tremendous victory, but vigilance is still needed on foreign animal disease monitoring.
The Minnesota legislative session begins today. Minnesota Farm Bureau Federation Public Policy Director Amber Glaser says the bonding bill will be a priority this year, along with discussions on climate change.
Agriculture wants to be at the table and be a part of that conversation and really go to show how we can be a leader in that and the progress that we're making and the what we're already doing in agriculture to improve the environment. And one of the ways we can do that is through renewable fuels. I think as you look at Governor Walz's commitment to biofuels, not only during his time in Congress, but now in his administration as well, seeing what progress we can make on that front. I think that conversation along with climate change has gone hand in hand, but would love to see that support for biofuels continue in Minnesota and see what progress we can make to make sure that we're adding value to agriculture all across the state.
The St. Paul District of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers received $100 million to continue work on the Fargo-Moorhead Diversion Project in the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Fiscal Work Plan. The Corps says the funds will allow the St. Paul District to complete a gated structure on the Wild Rice River, award an initial contract for the southern embankment in North Dakota, complete the diversion inlet structure, and continue design, environmental studies, and monitoring programs related to the project. Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Wet fields challenged weed management for farmers last year. BASF Technical Marketing Manager Darren Unland said there could be more weed and seeds in the field this spring. Having a good herbicide program can help.
Including use of pre-emergent herbicides using multiple modes of action, as well as planned timely post-emergent applications. You know, with that many weed seeds out there and that kind of weed pressure, we've got a lot more at risk and for you know, the challenges that Mother Nature may throw at us, whether that's delays in application or windy days or rainy periods, whatever it is. But having that solid plan in place will help us in the flexibility of that plan.
Unland says if there is more flooding in the spring, weed management plans will change.
Well, we would recommend in those cases where we have flooding, delayed planting, or no planting, would be do what we can, you know, with the options available. So, you know, try not to let any of those weeds go to seed. The worst thing that we could do as far as even for the future season, so for 2021 or beyond, would be to allow those weeds to grow, set seed, and add to that seed bank, just perpetuating the problem for future years.
Research and promotion continue to be top priorities for the National Beef Checkoff. Federation of State Beef Council Operating Committee member Katie Brenny, who ranches at Mazeppa, Minnesota, says innovation is another focus.
With some of the drool log, if you saw this Christmas season, we get to watch a beef on a spigot cook, to our research of our meat substitutes and kind of where's that industry headed, and then anything from our nicely done communication ad to our new BQA marketing campaign and the redone of the curriculum to kind of engage consumers and our producers again with that material.
Taking a look at the markets before we leave you this afternoon. March Minneapolis wheat down 3 1/4 at 5:30 1/2. March Chicago wheat down 10 3/4 at 5:41 1/4. March corn down 1 1/4 at 3:80 1/2. December corn down 1 1/4 at 3:92 1/4. March beans down 1 3/4 at 8:82 1/2. November beans down 2 at 9:17 1/4. February live cattle down $1.05 at $119.25. March feeder cattle down $1. April lean hogs down 85 cents at $64.22. This is the Red River Farm Network.